Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the word of redemption. Thank God for Christ. Hallelujah. So we've been studying remission of sins. And then right now we are focusing on metaphors for salvation. And we've been looking carefully at sanctification. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see, if God forgives you according to the riches of his grace, how big is that forgiveness? Hallelujah. You see, we are not forgiving like we forgive ourselves in the natural. Bible says this forgiveness is according to the riches of God's grace. Hallelujah. According to the riches of his grace. Because this remission of sins is the final thing. Hallelujah. It's a final forgiveness. It is not something you receive in bits and pieces. It is not something that you come to wail and plead for and beg for on a daily basis. It's something you receive once for all. Hallelujah. This is what the Old Testament could not deal with. The Old Testament sacrifices in all its glory could not take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10, it's impossible for the blood of bulls to take away sin. Jesus came upon the sin and he did that which the Old Testament could not do. By the sacrifice and the offering of Jesus, sins have been remitted once and for all, forever. Glory be to God. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 75. Hallelujah. And we're taking a closer look at sanctification. Sanctification, what exactly is it? We have seen that in scriptures. We have seen the implication of the same. And then yesterday I began to emphasize on how that the positional sanctification we have received is the ultimate thing. Glory to Jesus. By this, what I mean is that the man that is sanctified in Christ has found the ultimate thing. His work in sanctification is not a greater reality. You know, it's so funny that a lot of Christians assume that their work in the Spirit or their work with Jesus is a greater reality, is a depth, so to speak. The truth of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, is how that the work that we are called to in Christ Jesus is not deeper than the position we have been given. Hallelujah. The Christian work is not deeper than the position and the state that the sacrifice of Jesus has put in. The work we are required to have as Christians is not deeper than the position and the situation that Jesus already put us in. Glory be to God. So that it's funny when you find believers who rate their walk with Christ above the fact that they are in Christ. Hallelujah. See, being in Christ is a deeper reality than a walk with Christ. You don't say, let's move on from the basics. Let's now go to some depth. No. While advocating for a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of sanctification is great and is scriptural, you don't overrate the lifestyle above the life. It is the life that produces the lifestyle. Hallelujah. Eternal life is deeper than a walk in eternal life. Sanctification is deeper than a walk in sanctification. So we must always treasure and prize the nature and the position we have received above the expressions that flow from that life and that state. Hallelujah. So you must reckon your sanctification to be the ultimate. See, the only reason why you would always be perpetually pleasing to God is because Jesus sanctified you once and for all time. You are not going to be much more pleasing to God because you are walking in sanctification. Don't get this wrong. A walk in sanctification is great. It is commanded in scriptures. It is instructed. We are instructed and called to a walk in sanctification. I have emphasized this in previous episodes. But I'm saying that a walk in sanctification is not deeper than our sanctification itself. Hallelujah. That Jesus sanctified us by his offering, by his sacrifice, by his blood once for all time, is a deeper reality. That's the depth. Hallelujah. It is from this depth and understanding of this reality that we begin to live and walk in sanctification. Glory be to God. And I'll say this again, that the only reason why a man will be perpetually holy and sanctified and well-pleasing to God is based on the sanctification he has received in Christ Jesus. You know why? Our walk is not automatic. Our walk is not automatic. It is not always guaranteed that a man will be found walking in sanctification. It is not always going to be guaranteed that a man will be found walking in the Spirit. All through scriptures, you find believers who walked in the flesh. You find believers who lived according to the life they have received. We also find believers who lived contrary to the new life they have received. So always, the new life is the only thing that will be constant. Hallelujah. While it is good to strive, glory to Jesus, it is good to do what? To strive to walk in sanctification. The only thing guaranteed is the position of sanctification we already have in Christ. Hallelujah. You could get up on the wrong side of the bed today, so to speak. And then you are moody, you have mood swings, and then situations beat you up and down, and then you don't know how to respond or how to manage it, and then it affects your devotion and your walk. However, in that state of confusion, in that state of a lack of consistency in your devotion to Christ, your new life is intact. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. Despite your inconsistent walk in sanctification, God is still well pleased with you. Why? Because your nature is unaltered. Hallelujah. The position of sanctification you have received is not nullified or altered or canceled or eradicated by your lack of consistency in the walk in sanctification. So let's get this very clearly. Let's get this right. Before you go and misquote me and say, the man is saying, we don't need to even walk in sanctification again. I don't understand how some Christians listen to sermons. Hallelujah. A man of God said that sin does not take people to hell because Jesus died for sins. Definitely, because Jesus died for sins, it is lack of faith in what Jesus did that takes men to hell. And then somebody said, heresy. What kind of preacher is this? How can he say sin does not? See, you are misquoting the man. What he said is in a context. Because Jesus died for sins, John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because Christ died for sins, sin cannot be the problem anymore. Hallelujah. For instance, if I say to you that let's use this analogy. There's Ebola outbreak. And people are dying of Ebola. And then there's an invention, there's a cure. Now, at that point in time when there's an invention, what will kill people? You know, it's a manner of speaking. What will kill people at that point in time is not because there's Ebola. What will kill people at that point in time is a neglect of the cure of the solution. Glory to Jesus. So, of course, we know that Ebola is what has killed them. But because there's a solution, we can't be blaming it on the Ebola alone. At this point in time, it is not about the Ebola. It is about the fact that you have neglected the cure or the solution to the disease. Hallelujah. So that's why today, when you see a man die of malaria or typhoid, what comes to mind is not the power or the ability of malaria or typhoid to kill. The first thing that comes to mind is, this person didn't run a check on time. This person did not attend to it on time. Or was this person doing some sort of self-medication? I mean, because you know that there are lots of drugs, there are lots of, medicines that have been discovered, solutions to malaria and typhoid. Hallelujah. If you hear that somebody dies of a sickness, of an ailment today that has a cure, the problem is not just about the illness. The problem is that the person has neglected the solution. Glory be to God. That's what we're talking about. Before Jesus came upon the scene, sin was a great deal. It was a big deal. It had no solution. Hallelujah. Before Jesus came upon the scene, before the gospel was ever preached to any man, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, sin seemed to be a big deal. Hallelujah. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, sin is such a big deal. But when you bring Jesus into the picture, then sin loses its power. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, remember I quoted John 1:29. Does it make sense to overrate sin? Does it make sense to put sin under the spotlight again after you have such a revelation in scriptures? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Sin cannot take away Christ. Christ has taken away sin. So, which one is more superior? Which one is more powerful? Which one is more potent? Who is more potent? Who is deserving to be under the spotlight today? Christ. Hallelujah. And his sacrifice, what he has done, is the solution to sin. That's why the Bible says in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. We can't be overrating sin and giving all the glory to sin today because there's a solution. Hallelujah. So the position of sanctification we have received, I'll repeat, before you go and misquote me, I'm not saying that the position of sanctification we have received gives us a license to live anyhow. I'm saying that this is the only thing that makes a man perpetually righteous, blameless, and spotless and holy in the sight of God till the end of time. It is not your work that will make you forever pleasing to God. It is not your work that will make you always well pleasing to God. It is the position of sanctification Jesus has put you in that makes you perpetually holy and blameless in the sight of God. So let's get this right. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. I'll read. We've read this at different times in this series. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Have you seen that in the sacrifice of Jesus, the church is presented, that's the word, the church is presented holy, blameless, and without blemish in his sight, without spot. The church is presented a glorious church via the sacrifice and the offering of Christ. Hallelujah. The church is presented blameless. It is not a function of the work of the church. It is not a function of how the church has lived or how the church is conducting itself. It's a function of the sacrifice of Jesus, that the church is identified with the work of Christ. Or let me say that the church is a product of the sacrifice of Jesus. The church is presented holy, blameless, without spot and blemish in the sight of God. This is the only thing that puts you in a perpetual state of holiness and blamelessness and without blemish and being without spot in the sight of God till the end of time. Hallelujah. Till the end of time. So the sanctification we have received in Christ Jesus makes us positionally blameless. Hallelujah. Positionally, we are blameless in the sight of God. We are righteous, blameless, holy, without blemish in his sight. Not because of anything we have done, but because of what he did. He did the work. He sanctified us. Hallelujah. And like we've seen in this study, he sanctified us. And as a result of that sanctification, we have become saints of God. Saints of God. Men who are blameless in the sight of God. Men who are regarded as the most holy thing on the face of the earth today. Hallelujah. I feel so sorry for believers who have deified places, deified platforms, deified pulpits, deified campgrounds and church buildings and auditoriums. You find believers rushing to the altar, so-called, in the New Testament today. There's no altar in the New Testament. Altars were made for slaughtering and offering sacrifices in the Old Testament. The idea of altar is a place of sacrifice. What we can have today is a podium. Hallelujah. A podium or a platform. But then people call it altar today. So let's use the language. People rush to altars in courts today, trying to lay hold on the altar, seeing those places as most holy, as most holy. In fact, there are places where they don't allow believers or women to ascend the altar because those places are considered most holy in the sight of men. However, the believer is the most holy thing. The believer is more holy than any campground. He is more holy than any sacred place on the face of the earth. He is more holy than the pulpit. He is more holy than the Dio's chair. Hallelujah. He is more sacred than any other thing on the face of the earth. Today is God's most holy vessel. Hallelujah. More to be treasured and deified is the body of the believer. Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Spirit where the Holy Ghost dwells? Your body is to be hallowed and more treasured than any other thing on the face of the earth today, because the believer is the most holy thing. Hallelujah. That's why Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Your bodies are holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You are a living sacrifice, a product of Jesus' sacrifice, and you've been offered to God as a living sacrifice. When he says to present your body as so, it doesn't mean you are the one to make yourself into a living sacrifice. It means you must reckon this fact to be true. You must acknowledge it to be true. You are a living sacrifice. Conduct yourself in this manner. Hallelujah. You've been presented to God as a holy vessel. Glory be to Jesus. So I said, let's get this right. The sanctification we have received has put us in a perpetual state of holiness. Glory be to God. A perpetual state of holiness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 10. Oh, hallelujah. My soul rejoices. Good news. The gospel of Jesus is called the good news. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me say this to you. If you feed on the gospel, the truth of Christ's death and resurrection on a daily basis, you make it your daily diet, your regular diet, it will have a direct impact even on your physical health. Hallelujah. Your physical health will improve drastically. It is God's wisdom. The gospel is God's power. It will affect your body. It will affect your health. It will affect your mental health. People who feed on the gospel regularly cannot suffer depression. You can take this to the bank. People who feed on the gospel regularly cannot suffer depression. If a believer is suffering from depression, it is because he departed from the truth of the word of God. Quote me anywhere. Hallelujah. Bible says the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost perpetually. The man that is plucked into that move, hallelujah, the man that is plucked into the realm he exists in, which is the spirit, enjoys joy, peace, and righteousness on a perpetual basis. You see, that state, is a state that makes it impossible for you to walk in depression, anxiety, worry, you know, a feeling of regret and all that. Glory be to God. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible says, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been sanctified once and for all time. Hallelujah. And you see, the product, or let me say, the outcome of this sanctification is that God is well pleased with us. God is well pleased. So if he says that this sanctification is something that was done once and for all time, that means God is well pleased with us at all times. Because what we have received in Christ Jesus is a once for all time reality. Hallelujah. We have received it. Hebrews 10 and 14. Look at this also. Glory to God. In fact, let me read from verse 11. Let's just read down. Bible says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. You see, this is a perfection that you will not get by your works. This is a perfection that is not improved upon by a work in sanctification. As powerful, as necessary, as important, as vital as a work in sanctification is, it cannot bring you the kind of perfection that the offering of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, brought you once for all time. Hallelujah. It can't achieve it. Glory be to God. So, what is the place of our work in sanctification? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 1. Bible says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So he says, you ought to know how to walk and please God. We have instructed you. We have taught and commanded you that there's a walk that pleases the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are well pleasing to Christ by the sanctification which we have received. However, Bible says our walk pleases God. Hallelujah. Our walk in sanctification. So verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So, while we are well-pleasing to God positionally, by nature, by virtue of our position in Christ, Bible says our walk in sanctification also pleases God. Now, don't be confused. Praise God. Let me give you a simple illustration. Don't be confused. When you give birth to your child is pleasing to you, not because of anything the child has done, but because that's your product. That's the fruit of your body. There's so much love, there's so much attention, there's so much care and support that you give to your child, not because of anything they have done to deserve it, but because, see, you value them because you consider them to be, you consider your child, or, you know, many of them, as the case may be, to be the fruit or the fruits of your body. There's just that sentiment towards your children. Hallelujah. So you love them, not because of anything they have done. You just love them. Hallelujah. They are your product. Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are Christ's product. We are the product of God himself. So he delights in us, not because of anything we have done, but because we are product of his sacrifice. He delights in us because he made us. I mean, if God is displeased with us, he is displeased with the work of his hand. Just like in the beginning, God made everything, and Bible says he looked at everything he had made and he saw that it was very good. That is, God saw that what he had done was satisfactory. I mean, he did it. Hallelujah. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, Jesus is a new creation. See, we were created in Christ. Hallelujah. So if God is displeased with you and I, he's displeased with what he did. He's displeased with what he made. Hallelujah. So he cannot be displeased with us because we are who he made us. Hallelujah. We are what he made us to be. Glory be to God. So God is well pleased with us. We as persons, as people, we are pleasing in his sight. But your work can be displeasing to God. So your child is well pleased to you because he's your child. You love them. But then your children can do things. Your children can do things that you don't approve. Your children can do the things you don't approve of. So if a believer walks in fornication, adultery, or a believer steals, is it God doesn't approve of those conducts? God is not well pleased by those conducts. There are conducts and attitudes that please God, that are pleasing to God, that glorify God. So God is not pleased by those attitudes. But then God is well pleased with the man. Because the man is not the product of his attitude. The man is a product of the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. So in correcting the man, God is not going to be displeased with the man. God is going to remind the man of the stuff he's made of. So you see the way Paul corrected the Corinthians. Don't you know you are the temple of God? Don't you guys know? Hallelujah. At some point he says, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? He began to remind them of their position. Because your position is perpetually intact in the sight of God. Glory be to God. So we must get this right. We must hold dear to our heart the fact of our positional sanctification in the sight of God. Because Jesus died for you and I, and we believe in him, and by his sacrifice and his offering, we've been perfected once and for all in the sight of God. God can never be displeased with us. Hallelujah. God can never be displeased with us. It is not a function of what we have done or what we are doing or what we ever do. It's a function of the sacrifice of Jesus. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll continue our study. Invite your friends, your relatives, colleagues, schoolmates, anybody at all. And let's come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. I'll be here waiting for you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Hallelujah. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of spiritual songs and prayers. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.